Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And with me is a guy that smoked him over at Sandy Cooper, and it's with Mark Kyle. And Mark, you had a great tournament, 7 pounds ahead going into the last day, and who'd have thought Kelly Jordan would have caught you? But absolutely great tournament nonetheless.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, I spent a lot of time working on Santee. We actually had a couple weeks off this year. That was about it in between tournaments. And when we did, I went over and spent a week on Eufaula and then spent a week on Santee. And I learned my way around the lake a lot better. Last year, I think Santee was my worst finish. So I needed to put in some time. It's such a hard place to navigate with all the timber and stuff. So I learned how to get into different backwater areas. And it just saved me a lot of time when I got there practicing. And it was just a fun tournament. I was, you know, you just pray everything will work out. And this one really did. I mean, all except for Kelly beating me. You know, it was kind of cool. The area I fished, I found one little backwater area, just a little backwater area, and the bottom was black. And all the rest of them had white sandy bottoms. And it cooled off a couple of days of practice. And this black bottom bay stayed warm, I noticed. Stayed about 3 degrees warmer than the rest of them. And so that's kind of where I started. I saw three fish, probably 6 pounders, swimming around. There was no beds or anything, but I started in there the first day just pitching a tiki stick, and man, it was pretty exciting. I caught about 16 and a half pounds the first day, and I thought that was good because I hadn't hardly been bit in practice. And the second day I went to the same place and caught 20 pounds. The third day I went back to the same place, and in about 2 hours I had one 12 incher. So I said, uh-oh, I better make a move. And I went to the next bay over and caught 32 pounds, 3 ounces. So it was an exciting tournament and a lot of fun.
Well, you know, you think about this thing, and you and I've kind of kidded about it in the past. You know, you had 7 pound lead, you know, and if you come in, you stub your toe the last day, and you know, maybe have a blank or 6 pounds or something like that, you think, oh man, well, I didn't deserve to win. Last day, you come in with 22 pounds and still got beat. That had to be a heartbreaking deal.
Yeah, I'm really excited about winning one of these tournaments. I've led three of them going into the final day. And the last one was at Clear Lake last year at our tour event, and Alton Jones was 7 pounds behind me. And guess what? Alton beat me. So I knew it was possible, you know. But the difference in Clear Lake and Santee is at Clear Lake, I didn't catch him very good the last day. I only caught 9 pounds, and Alton caught me. At Clear Lake, man, I caught 22 pounds. What else could you do? You know, I thought, I got it. And sure enough, Kelly beat me. So I think the moral to the story is never lead by 7 pounds. If I have 7 pounds going to the next one, I might throw one back coming in.
You realize seven's a lucky number to a lot of people, but it's not to Mark Kyle. You know, Mark, one of the things, I guess, you know, as a pro touring angler, you know, a lot of people kind of question, you know, you guys are always on the road. You mentioned you've been home a couple of weeks, you know, or whatever. You're actually on the road fishing a couple of weeks during your off time. But you've got kind of a neat program you've put together with your camper and your family going with you, and it's got to be kind of fun for you.
Yeah, I look at it a little different than most guys. To me, my priorities are God, my family, and then fishing. You know, fishing's really fun, and I love to do it, but there's a lot more to life than fishing. And so it's important that I have my family with me, and we got a big camper, big Lance camper, and luckily I've got a wife that'll put up with me and go along. And we lived in that camper 2.5 months this year, I mean, without going home or going anywhere else. And we had a great time, you know, staying at the different campgrounds or on the lakes, and it gives you more time on the water. I come in, and my wife cooks dinner for us, you know, so it's just like being at home with my daughter there, and I think it keeps me a little more grounded than a lot of the other guys. You know, I don't listen to a lot of the doc talk and stuff. I just go fishing and have my family there, and it makes a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about, you know, I guess the connection. You're an out west angler, but last year it didn't matter where you were. If you could have been from, you know, Central America, you were the rookie of the year in the BASS trail, and that had to be a little bit fun because you were incentive a little, you know, the incentives were pretty nice to win that thing, and also a lot of recognition.
Yeah, I just wish that this year it qualifies you for the E50s. I wish it would have done that, but I guess we didn't have that last year. But, I mean, it was really exciting. You know, I didn't really start out the year. I started out the year last year hoping to make the top 100 so I could go fish Clear Lake and the California Delta. And, I mean, I just had a great start. I tied for 12th at Harris Chain, and then I think 30th at Okeechobee, and I think I was in third in the points right away, and I thought, man. Then I realized, I said, hey, they're having a Rookie of the Year race. I might want to try to do that. So, you know, I was blessed and that all worked out. And it was really exciting. Sitco gave me $10,000 and that was really cool.
Well, you know, you talk about the Rookie of the Year and the fact that, you know, you've only been fishing bass a couple of years and that's why you're not in the E50s now. But in reality, you've been fishing this stuff for quite a while out west and have had a great success out west.
Yeah, I made my living out west for about 12 years bass fishing, and And I never really wanted to come to the tour, you know. I mean, really, Dave Simmons from Yamaha, my sponsor, said, "Hey, Mark, you got to come out here, you know, because it'll help Yamaha. It'll be good for you." And I fought it as long as I could. I thought, man, I can stay at home and win $50,000 a year and sleep in my bed most nights, you know. But I'm glad I did it now. I've had lots of fun and met lots of great people and kind of met some of the heroes. And I've really enjoyed it.
Well, what about techniques? You know, you bring those West Coast techniques now. You know, the big craze, I think, is probably in the next 5 or 10 years, you're going to hear a lot more about swim baits, you know, and those are really a West Coast, West bait. But all of a sudden now they're starting to gain some notoriety across the country.
Yeah, you know, big bass eat big things, and a swim bait, you know, just works wherever you go. I saw a guy catch a 8-pounder at Harris Chain on a swim bait this year. So anywhere we got big bass, those swim baits are going to work, you know, because they eat bass, they eat gizzard shad, they eat all kinds of big baits. So, I mean, it's just something that anglers are starting to learn. You know, there's a lot of little things like drop shotting, and there's some cool things coming out from the West. I think even Flippin did a long time ago from D. Thomas, but I think it goes both ways. I've learned a lot of techniques from these guys back here, and I think it just makes me a better fisherman wherever I go.
Well, I got to ask you, you know, the classic's a ways away, and be, you know, not having that third year, you're not going to be in the E50, so you're going to have a chance maybe to get kind of prepared mentally, get those maps out, do the things that you need to do, because North Carolina's not that far away.
No, I thought, you know, I'm gonna do a lot of homework and research on it and see what I can figure out and, you know, get out those maps. Like you said, I'll know where every hump and point is on that lake by the time I get there. So, you know, that's the one we all want to win, and it's just exciting to get to go back.
Let's talk about it. What have you win this thing? Well, you Bassmaster Classic champion or Rookie of the Year. What happens if you win this classic this year?
Boy, I don't know. Hopefully I'll be fishing for the rest of my life, you know. That's everyone's dream. And it, you know, I saw last year I finished sixth in the classic, so I thought, you know, only five guys stopped me from winning that thing. So I know it's possible, you know, everything's really got to go right, but it would really be exciting.
We got a great camper now, and maybe you'd have one about, you know, 40-footer if you win the classic. What do you think?
Yeah, I might hire a driver and get one of those big tour buses. That might be the way to go then.
Well, they talk about that being a $1 million win, but I think more than anything else, the prestige, you know, it's infinite. You know, it's as long as you're alive, and even after you're not, you know, the people think about you winning the Bassmaster Classic. You know, you're almost immortalized. And you know, this year it's going to be at a you know, kind of a Highland Impoundment. You know, it's going to be up near Charlotte, North Carolina. But people have to be really thrilled with the idea that, hey, that's coming up in that neck of the woods. You know, it could be a deep water fishery.
You know, the first classic I fished was actually in North Carolina. This is my third classic, and it was at High Rock, North Carolina. And I don't know if they fish the same, but the time it was there before, Mark Davis won. When I was there, Denny Brower won Flippin'. So Mark Davis won Deep Cranks, and then Denny won Flippin'. So, you know, that area I think can go either way, that time of year especially. So I'm going to try to be flexible and just go out and see if I can't find them.
I got one final question. You're part of the visor brigade, you know. There's a bunch of guys now not wearing the ball caps anymore. They're going to the visors. What's the deal with that?
They're really comfortable. Have you ever worn one? If you ever wear one, it's hard to go back, you know. I got hair, so I like to show it. You know, a lot of these guys are bald, they got to wear a cap, but I don't yet, so.
Well, there's a certain group of guys, you know. It seems like there's a lot more guys wearing the visor, and I would imagine in the summer hot, you know, temperatures, it's going to be very, very important to have that as well.
Yeah, it's just a real comfortable, you know, it blocks the sun and your head stays cool. I enjoy wearing them.
Well, folks, remember the name Mark Kyle. This guy's going to be one of the guys in this year's Bassmaster Classic. Look for him to be right up there near the top of the leaderboard. Mark, well, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.